content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Steve Lord for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached by phone at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Fidelity.com, Kiplinger's AARP Bulletin, AAA Living Magazine, and the AARP Magazine. Can you pass the penny pincher test? See if your spending strategies and mindset match the experts' formulas for success. This story by Kimberly Lankford is from the April-May 2022 issue of AARP, the magazine. There are six questions with four choices each. See if you can guess the right answers. Question 1. It's time for a grocery run. What's the best way to keep down your food budget? Is it A, eat a meal before you head out? Is it B, plan meals for the coming week? Is it C, buy primarily store brands? Or D, shop for groceries online instead? The recommended answer is B. In my personal and professional experience, I've found that the single best way to save money is to meal plan, says Lisa Friedman, Executive Lifestyle Director at Kitchen, an online food magazine. That means deciding menus for each day of the week and building a shopping list from those choices. Look to see what you have on hand already, she says. See how you can use those items, then think about what you'd need to buy. Not that choices A, C, and D are bad ideas. Research has shown that hungry shoppers spend more, and if you're prone to impulse purchases, online shopping may present fewer temptations, says Friedman. Question number 2. Among the items gathering dust in your closet are a once-used pasta maker, a never-used foot massager, and a regrettably used baseball cap with beer can holders. What's the easiest way to stop these impulse buys? Is it A, freeze your credit cards in a block of ice? Is it B, don't go online, don't visit shopping malls? Is it C, tape a gallery of your unfortunate purchases to your refrigerator door? Or is it D, put appealing purchases on a wish list first? Answer, unsurprisingly, D. You don't need to become a hermit, freeze your cards, or shame yourself daily to avoid impulse buys. Instead, make a habit of putting items you think you want on a wish list first. Whether it's handwritten or in an online shopping cart, then make your final decision a few days later. We find that when consumers place an item on a wish list, they are less likely to purchase the item, says Deidre Popovich, assistant professor of marketing and supply chain management at Texas Tech University's Rawls College of Business, and co-author of a paper on the topic. Her study found that putting items on a wish list essentially turns a one-stage purchase decision into a two-stage process that uses a different decision-making strategy. When you put an item on a wish list, you're thinking only about its appealing qualities. But when you return to the list later, you start considering not just its pluses, but its minuses too. Question number 3. You're finally ready to take a vacation again, and it's time to book a hotel. To be certain you're getting a good price on your room, how many websites will you need to look at, or how many phone calls will you need to make? Is it A, one or two websites, or B, three or four phone calls, or C, five or six websites, or D, seven or eight calls? Answer, A. Finding the best price used to require combing through several websites, says Martin Kepnes, author of How to Travel the World on $50 a Day. But times have changed. You just need to use Google, he says. Type in your destination, plus the word hotels, and your day of arrival, and you'll see a map displaying available hotels with prices. When you find a hotel you like, click on View Prices to see the rates listed by major booking websites. You can then book your room on the site with the best deal, or call the hotel and ask if they'll match the offer. Question 4. You've decided to start shopping way ahead of time for birthday, anniversary, and holiday gifts this year, in the hopes of not overpaying for last-minute presents. Which of these is the least essential for pulling off this plan successfully? A. A budget. B. A list of recipients and gift ideas. C. Designated closet space. Or D. A cashback credit card. Answer: D. First of all, planning far in advance for gifts is a great idea, says consumer savings specialist Andrea Warrock. The more time you give yourself, the more time you have to save up and shop around for the best presents at the best price, she says. That means writing out a list of upcoming celebrations with gift ideas and budgets for each. Yes, a cashback credit card is nice for recouping a little bit of the money you've spent, as long as you're the type of person who pays off the credit card bill in full each month. But the really crucial element of this strategy, Warrock says, is picking only one spot in your home to store all your early bird purchases. When you start hiding them all over your house, it's easy to lose track of what you've bought or where you put things, she says. I lost a necklace for my daughter for a year. Question 5. Sometime in the next year, you've decided you'll replace all your bedsheets and bedspreads. When will be the best month for getting good deals? Is it A, July, B, October, C, January, or D, there's no particular month? Answer, C. You already know about back-to-school and Black Friday sales, but real penny pinchers keep a more detailed calendar. January, for example, is the best time to buy bedding and linens, Warrock says. For seasonal clothing, it's typically best to make those purchases toward the end of that season, says Julie Ramhold, consumer analyst with Deal News. To get notified of sales at your favorite stores and on your favorite brands, sign up for their e-newsletters and follow them on social media. You can also get advance word in the traditional way. When you're in a store, just ask. You may learn that a potential purchase will be going on sale in just a couple of days, so you can hold off on buying, Warrock says. Question 6. A week ago, you bought a $700 exercise bike at a local outpost of a major retail chain. Now you see they're selling exactly the same model for $150 less. What do you do? A. Curse your bad luck and bad timing and move on. B. Return it to the store, then go back a day later and buy it again. C. Go back to the store and ask the manager for a $150 refund. Or D. Ask your credit card issuer to cancel the purchase. Answer, C. It's commonplace and perfectly reasonable to ask for a partial refund if a product's price drops after you buy it, says Ramhold. The window for getting a price adjustment, that is, a refund or store credit, is typically a week or two after a purchase, but it can be longer. At Costco, you can get a credit for the difference between the price you paid and a sale price for up to 30 days after your purchase. Target will match a price within 2 weeks of a purchase if the price drops at your store or is lower at Target.com. Now note, some retailers exclude certain items or time periods, for example, limiting adjustments around Black Friday. Finding Values in a Volatile Market by Jeffrey Cosnett. This article is from the July 2022 issue of Kiplinger's magazine. Steel yourself for 6 more months of instability. The model? In May, the Federal Reserve hiked short-term interest rates by a half percentage point, the most in a single adjustment since 2000, and promised to do it again and again until inflation slows. Stock prices curiously rallied as long-term interest rates fell back, also generating gains for bonds and bond funds. But after a night to contemplate, the rabble of day traders, debt and inflation scolds, and Fed cynics undid the gains, and then some, in bonds and stocks. This turbocharged the fears of an extended and all-encompassing decline as oil prices re-escalate, high mortgage rates strangle the housing boom, and jobs, business profits, and consumer spending gradually weaken. In such a world, everyone with diversified savings and investments is in Zugzwang, the chess player's trap, where every possible move makes you worse off. The preventative to that is to find risk-free refuge. I'm seeing 1-year certificates of deposit paying 2%. It has been a while since that was on offer. Grab it if you have had your fill of turbulence. But I am not equating volatility with hopelessness. Plenty of higher income paying stuff, despite being in the red so far in 2022, looks oversold. Hence, I forecast better results in the second half among key yield-oriented sectors, taxable and tax-exempt municipals, preferred stocks, utilities, real estate investment trusts, and corporate bonds rated A and BBB. The few actual first-half winners are also still safe. Energy investments will continue to thrive. Floating rate funds remain timely, and you can now accumulate 2 to 5 year treasuries with respectable coupons. If you are watchful, you will get chances to buy quality bonds, funds, and bond-like assets on dips. Don't fret about missed or reduced dividend or interest payments. You are more apt to get a raise. After interest rates have risen as they have, and with slower economic growth increasingly likely, I cannot see another 2 quarters of 10% principal losses in short and intermediate duration debt. How much more bond selling makes sense, especially as the yield curve flattens and long-term treasury rates stop climbing so much? A bunch of fixed-rate preferred stocks with tax-advantaged dividends are nearly 20% below their $25 par value, and similarly rated issues, around BBB-, from such financial luminaries as Allstate Insurance, Bank of America, Capital One, Morgan Stanley, and U.S. Bancorp, are priced for a current yield at or above 6%. The rare year-to-date slide in municipal bond prices followed a long spell of outperformance. Now, munis dated 10 years and longer are commonly priced to yield more than equivalent maturity treasuries, a buy signal for tax exempts, and that is before you calculate your taxable equivalent yield, which may exceed 7%. The war in Ukraine is a boon for domestic energy investments. A raft of 10 to 20 year issues from oil and natural gas firms, pipelines, and related industries, rated investment grade or just below, are priced to yield 5.5% or 6% to maturity, with the possibility of price-boosting credit upgrades. You get dramatically more value in a number of areas today. That is why I am confident the balance of this year will be less daunting and possibly more rewarding than the beginning, at least for discerning investors. How to come out ahead when getting a car loan. This article is from the June, July, August 2022 issue of AAA Living. Being better informed can help you save time and money when it comes to financing a car. Buying a car can be a little confusing. These days, most dealers no longer offer big savings for paying cash up front for a car. In fact, you can sometimes save money when you finance a car, especially if you have good credit and can get a very low APR, so it pays to know the ins and outs of car loans. Credit score. Your credit score is a number based on several factors such as your bill-paying history, your debts, new applications for credit, and more. Credit scores can range from 300 to a high of 850, and the higher your score, the easier it is for you to get a low-interest rate loan your loan. You can check your score with a credit bureau such as Experian. Dealership versus bank. You can finance your new or used car through a bank or credit union, or directly through the dealership, which will then find a lender for you. When you go through a bank, credit union, or online lender, you can get pre-approved for your loan before going to buy your car, which has some advantages. Pre-approval. Pre-approval for a loan makes it easier for you to negotiate and get a lower interest rate. When you're pre-approved, it means a lender reviewed your credit report and other factors and has determined the amount of the loan for which you qualify. You can get pre-approved for a loan at more than one bank or credit union before even shopping for a car to give yourself more flexibility. Annual percentage rate. The annual percentage rate, or APR, is a major factor in your car loan. As it determines the amount of interest you'll pay on the loan, you'll want to find an APR as close to 0% as possible to help minimize your monthly payments and, ultimately, the total cost of your loan. down payment, and monthly payments. When financing your car, you can lower your monthly payments as well as lower your interest rate by making a down payment. More money down is better, but less will work as well too, as much as you can afford without stretching your cash flow. You can also lower the amount of your monthly payments by stretching the repayment of your loan over a number of years. Is inflation peaking? There are signs that you may get some sustained relief soon from higher prices. This article by Jurian Timmer is from Fidelity Management and Research Company, Fidelity.com. It appeared on July 6, 2022. Three key takeaways. Commodity prices have declined from recent highs. Inflation expectations have subsided somewhat as well. And stocks will likely continue to reflect inflation risks over the near term. There may not be many positive catalysts to drive the market higher over the short term, especially while several more interest rate hikes appear likely down the road. But I do think there's some emerging good news. Inflation may have peaked. Most commodity prices have started to put the brakes on recently. The Bloomberg Commodities Index, which tracks more than 20 commodity futures, including energy, metals, and livestock, has declined 19% since this year's most recent high, reached on June 9th. Take oil, for example. West Texas Intermediate crude, the benchmark oil price in North America, is trading at just under $97 a barrel as of late June, down from the near-term peak of $120 per barrel in early June. Among food commodities, wheat prices are near $8 per bushel, down from $13 per bushel in mid-May. While those prices are still high relative to pre-supply chain problems from just a few years ago, they are down substantially from post-Ukraine invasion levels, providing some measure of relief to many consumers around the world. There's also a decline in the TIPS break-even that inflation expectations may have peaked. TIPS are Treasury inflation-protected securities. Basically, they are bonds that provide protection against inflation. And the TIPS break-even uses the yields on TIPS to measure expected inflation. The 5-year TIPS break-even has fallen 100 basis points since March, suggesting investors broadly expect inflation to fall. Of course, geopolitical flare-ups, bad weather, an increase in demand for specific commodities, and other factors could put a halt to the slowdown in prices. If those events don't come to pass, I think it's possible we may be past peak inflation. If inflation is indeed peaking, that might alleviate some of the pressure pushing the Fed to aggressively raise rates. With that said, the Fed has indicated it will continue to bump up its main lending rate, with Fed funds markets suggesting the endgame is around 3.5%. The Fed funds rate currently stands at a target range of 1.5% to 1.75%. The big question for stock investors is whether company earnings will take additional hits from further rate hikes. As rates rise, the cost of borrowing increases, and that can negatively impact earnings. With earnings season right around the corner, we'll soon find out. Many are wondering if a recession might be the price to pay for taming the inflation beast. The yield curve is getting closer to arriving at this outcome. But we are not there yet, in my view, especially when looking at the TIPS curve or the 2-year/10-year curve adjusted for the term premium. The term premium is an estimate of the risk that investors require as compensation for the possibility that rates will change over the life of a bond. The chart reflecting bond yield curves included in the article is complex, but it suggests that a recession signal isn't necessarily being given by the difference between longer-term bonds and shorter-term bonds. So, what does this all mean? If inflation continues to slow, the Fed may not have cause to be as aggressive in hiking rates. While that may not drive stocks higher, it may not be as negative of a catalyst as it has been thus far this year. More importantly, if prices for things like gas, groceries, and other products do continue to come down, consumers may be able to breathe a little easier. Windfall Wizard. be prepared for those rare occasions when an outsized sum falls into your lap. This story by Ellen Stark is from the April 2022 issue of AARP Bulletin. For most of your life, money comes in at a slow and somewhat steady pace. Maybe you get a paycheck every 2 weeks, or a Social Security payment once a month. Now and then, you might get a bump from a raise, bonus, gift, or side hustle. Sometimes, though, you have a genuine windfall, the type with three or more zeros at the end of it. An inheritance, an insurance settlement, a lump sum pension payout, or the proceeds from the sale of a long-held family home. Even a tax refund can seem like found money at times. At these moments, you're faced with the challenge of handling the sudden appearance of a large sum of money that could change your life, or be a lost opportunity. Follow this plan to make the most of the moment. Slam on the brakes. The first thing to do is take a deep breath, says New Orleans financial planner H. Jude Beaudreau. We often rush to make a decision, and quick choices can lead to regret. You need to give yourself time to process your emotions and plan carefully, especially when a windfall is the result of an unhappy event, like the death of a family member, or a settlement from a traumatic accident. While you're figuring out your next steps, you may want to park the money in a safe place that's separate from the rest of your savings, making it less tempting to fritter away. Up to $250,000 of a single depositor's accounts in the same category at a bank or credit union is insured. Alternatively, U.S. Treasury bills are extremely low risk. Ride out the emotional roller coaster. With an inheritance, you might feel that you don't deserve the bequest, or wish that the deceased person had enjoyed the money while alive. The resulting mixture of guilt and grief might cause you to burn through the money quickly or impulsively, give it all away. Even if the source of the money isn't tragic, perhaps it's a home sale. Your first reaction can be giddily irrational. We have a natural tendency to treat found money differently than income from a paycheck, leading to mindless splurges. Megan McCoy, a marriage and family therapist who teaches financial therapy at Kansas State University, suggests talking to a friend or therapist to help articulate your emotions and how they might be affecting your financial plans. Try to have a split in your brain, she says. Keep the financially smart things to do and the emotional processing distinct. Create a timeline. When you're sorting out what to do with a windfall, Beaudreau recommends breaking your plan into three parts: now, soon, and later. During the now period, figure out what you really have to work with, including whether any of the windfall is subject to taxes. Inheritances, for example, can be taxed in 6 states. Life insurance proceeds, except for interest, generally aren't taxed. Gains on a home might be, and lottery winnings are. Once you determine your net dollar amount, consider shoring up your financial health by paying off high-rate credit card balances and bulking up your emergency fund. In the soon stage, it's time to develop a full financial plan for the money, including an investment strategy and management of your other debt, such as the mortgage on your home. Don't race to pay off that mortgage in the now phase, advises Columbus, Ohio financial planner Jill Gianola. Emotionally, it feels good, she adds, but from a purely financial point of view, you're better off not paying off your mortgage and investing and letting money grow. And the later part of the process? That's deciding on big moves like buying a vacation home, making large gifts to charity or family, and updating your estate plan. Give yourself time to ensure you're happy with your decisions before you do anything, McCoy says. Prepare for please. A windfall may bring friends or family members out of the woodwork, hat in hand, but planning for your own financial security should be your priority. If someone asks for financial help that you'd rather not give, McCoy suggests this defense. First say that you'll think about it and promise to talk later. Then practice your assertiveness skills to stay calm during the upcoming conversation. If a person truly loves you, she says, they should be able to accept no for an answer. If you're rejecting a request, articulate your reasons. People like hearing the because, McCoy says. And don't feel guilty about not helping out. Whatever way you've received the money, it is yours to decide what happens to it, she says. If you decide you do want to help out, you may find that it's rewarding. Studies have found that spending money on other people makes us happier than spending money on ourselves. Build on what you have. If you already have a plan in place for retirement and other goals, don't scrap it. Instead, see how this newfound money fits in. If you felt you could never retire, an inheritance can make it possible, Baudreau says. Or it might accelerate the timeline, or let you move into an encore career. A cash infusion can also fund smart tweaks to your plan, such as letting you cover the taxes on converting a traditional IRA to a fully tax-free Roth IRA, or put off claiming Social Security. Delaying from age 67 to 70 means a 24% increase in benefits for the rest of your life, Giannola says. Go slow with the market. If a windfall leaves you with a large amount of money to invest in the stock market, invest over time. I am not a big fan of investing everything on day one, says Winchester, Massachusetts financial planner Catherine Vallega. Emotionally, it's hard to put a large sum at risk all at once. As is the case any time you invest, diversification reduces your risk of major losses. A broad-based mutual fund offers far more safety than shares in a handful of individual companies. If you feel like an inheritance has made you custodian of a parent's legacy, Giannola notes, it may hurt more if you invest the money in risky assets and lose it. And finally, be intentional in your spending. If you want to reward yourself with some of your newfound money, give in to that impulse, within reason. It's dessert, not the main course, Baudreau says. Perhaps carve out 10% to 20% of the money to spend on stuff. Deploying the money in a way that honors the source can also help you feel better about a windfall, especially one that carries the emotional residue of an inheritance from a family member. You might want to take your family on a vacation, or donate money to a charity that was meaningful to the person who left you the money. Creating a memory increases the long-term remembrance of that person, Baudreau says. It's impactful and can be important. We've run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Steve Lord, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.